none, public comment. Hearing none. We'll go on our first business item, advisory board hearings following individuals. Victoria Slater.
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, I love the pink.
Thanks.
I'm assuming I sit here.
Yes.
Hello, Mark.
Hello.
See you, Bruce.
Good morning.
Leslie. Hi.
So we have a standard set of questions.
Okay.
And we'll ask you the questions, and there may be some follow-up questions.
Okay.
Based upon how you answer those questions. And then, of course, you can ask us questions afterwards.
Yeah.
Okay. So who would like to start off?
I can go. Why are you interested in becoming a member of this board?
Well, it started with some information I received working on the Planning and Zoning Commission and finding out some things. And then I was at David's retirement party, and Sarah came by and said that they were looking for somebody to participate on this board. And she asked if I knew anybody, Tammy and I, and we said yes. So that's how it started.
Okay. And what kind of things did you find out?
Well, the first eye-opener for me was that it wasn't being protected. How do I put this? I'm a little nervous, sorry, I'm excited about this. The Panhandle Health people were there, and they were talking about how there are companies that have chemicals that they work with, and that they go and they make sure that they're being protected, that, you know, they're taking care of the chemicals, there's no spills, there's no potential spills. It was like, why are there even these kind of companies that are there? Because what I discovered too from what they were saying is that there's a geological uniqueness to our aquifer that's different than others, which would cause a chemical spill to go like directly into the water. And so it's like, well, why are we not protecting this? Why isn't there some kind of zoning to keep that from happening? And then the recent planning and zoning meeting about mining companies, and that kind of, there's a wake up call for that. Suzanne Scheitz,
mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wasn't sure how to say her last name, gave a great presentation about that. And so it's a concern, and I'd like to participate in helping that,
okay.
Keeping our aquifer safe, because there's so many people that depend on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
So do you think that the critical materials program of Panhandle Health District is deficient?
That's to be further discovered. I can't answer that. I don't have enough information yet to say yes or no. I would need to know more.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you previously served on committees, either professionally or personally, and where have you had to deal with varied personalities?
Well, of course, the Planning and Zoning Commission, which I've really enjoyed. But prior to that, when I was a member of the Producers Guild, I was on their board of directors. And talk about personalities. Yeah, so, yeah, and that was great. And then I chaired their mentoring committee, which was probably the most popular committee, benefit of being a member of the Producers Guild. And so, yeah, you're dealing with a lot of producers, aspiring producers, so.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Mark?
How do you deal with conflict with other members?
Well, I think it's important to listen, to hear what's going on, to weigh things, and go from there. And you just, you can't, I've found that there's always not just two sides to a story, but multiple sides to a story. And so things are often more complicated than they initially look. And so you need to really listen and weigh what's going on, and then deal gracefully with people.
It works better that way, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. Yeah.
All right. What do you think is the great challenge or issue this board may be involved with?
Probably illegal. Property rights. Protecting it, but it's the balance between property rights, legalities, and then protecting the aquifer and the people that use it.
And then there's a position on the board that typically goes out and does a lot of education to the schools and the younger kids with edible aquifers. Are you familiar with that at all?
A little bit, yeah.
Okay. Is that something that you would have time to do?
Well, if I were to be involved, I'd want to change it a bit. I'd want to go more to high school students because I think they are closer to the potential of needing that or making a difference in the use of it, or an awareness of needing to protect it.
Are you aware of the Confluence Project or any of the high school programs offered right now?
No.
Okay.
What are they?
So there's the Confluence Project, which has 300 to 500 students each year, and they have projects that they work on and involves water quality, sometimes water quantity, and they have a big forum, I think usually in May, and they present their projects to
that's wonderful. Judges. I think that's great. Yeah.
So that's kind of more, I guess, in my opinion. I was on the Aquifer Protection Board for 5 years.
Yeah.
And I guess that's more my thought for age group appropriate.
Yeah.
And then the ice creams for the littles.
Yeah.
To get them to start thinking about it early.
Right. Yeah. So.
That's all for me.
Mark, any questions? Any additional questions?
How long have you been doing this kind of stuff?
Well, let's see. I've been on the planning and zoning. I think this is my second year. I started to get involved in local things probably 5 years ago, and just kind of find my way, where I fit, where I can help. I'm retired now. I'm in a great place. I don't have to work. And so I can offer myself. I think a wonderful skill set that from my career that I can bring and help people with. And I just love this community. So I feel like it's my duty and also my love to give back to this community that I just feel, it's kind of gushy, but I feel so thankful that I get to live here. It's such a great place.
Yeah, we want to keep it that.
Yes, we do, yes.
Question. So is that a PGA pin?
I dusted off my suit that I used to wear to PGA meetings. Producers Guild of America. Not golf. Yeah.
We won't hold that against you.
Well, I am a golfer, but
I like it too.
Oh, man.
Any other questions?
No.
Do you have any questions for us?
What are you looking for? I mean, what are you hoping to find in this position?
For me, it's the person who was not renewed did a lot of that work with the schools.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a working board, so there's a lot of people doing research and projects and things of that nature. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, is people willing and having the time.
Mm-hmm.
And the ability to continue with the education programs that have proven successful.
Mm-hmm.
With our community.
Mm-hmm.
Sounds like it's your turn.
Look, I'm just looking for someone who is responsive, who can think critically about the situations.
Mm-hmm.
And reflect what, you know, this community's values are. Obviously, protecting the aquifer is important.
Yeah.
And of course, the interrelatedness of the aquifer and the growth in the community. And
mm-hmm.
So that's one of the things I like, is that with you being on planning and zoning, you know, there is a link between these two.
Yeah,
and
much,
so
yeah.
You can kind of bridge that gap, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of what happens in the community is that things just operate autonomously and mutually exclusive of each other. And so you don't really know what one hand is doing with the other. And quite often, if people were more aware of that, then you could get a better outcome.
Yeah, that's what I loved about Suzanne coming and talking about what's going on and her concerns. I just thought that was quite
yeah.
A great presentation. She did a wonderful job.
Anything else?
No.
No. Well, thank you so much for coming in.
What a pleasure.
Yeah, appreciate
thanks.
It.
Love to pay. Thanks. I'm going to walk you out.
Okay.
I think this was the applicant who was up against the choice between Todd, remember Todd that we picked, Todd Hoffman?
No.
Yeah, the dark-haired guy that we put on this board.
Oh.
So, is Christy Reed here?
She's supposed to be here 2:30.
Oh.
So we can just have a 15-minute recess.
We'll take a recess then. 15 minutes. I should have just left.
Sounds like a very good story.
We're gonna go straight in here.
I'm gonna go straight here.
Yep.
This way.
Awesome.
Okay.
Thank you.
Alrighty, where would you like me to park?
Can you just park right in the middle?
Right there, right in the middle. Okay.
Ms. Johnson, my name's Bruce Matari.
Thank you, Mr. Matari.
Yep.
I'm Christy Johnson and
Mark
Everline. I know Leslie, thank you. Nice to see you all.
So we just have a set of questions to ask you, and then there may be some follow-up questions. And then after we're done asking our questions, you can ask us your questions.
I'm all ready.
Okay. Who would like to start?
Thanks, start again. Why are you interested in becoming a member of this board?
Because I've been a member of the board since the beginning of time, and I'm the historian. I can give us all the answers about how we started and why. And it's my passion.
And then, obviously, you won't be here forever. You may decide to retire at some point. So as a historian, how are you passing that knowledge on to people?
Well, I got a whole bunch of it that I have in boxes and paper, and they actually converted it into electronic form, and I gave it to the secretary at the county commission. I still have the paper copies just in case something happens and the computer blew up, you know.
Fail safe.
fail safe. You know, I also store all the atlases. I have a very safe, we call it the Garage Mahal, but it's a concrete three-story garage that's heated And so I store everything in there for them, because there's not enough room at DEQ or Panhandle Health for all of them when we get new additions. And so I can store like 10 pallets of them all along the edge of the...
Is that your personal?
It's my personal.
Oh, wow.
One.
When is the next shipment of Aquaphor Suds?
I don't think we have anything ordered right now. 2015 was our last group. And, you know, of course, we're always updating. And we did the Junior Atlas this last year, which has been really helpful for the grade school stuff, which is another thing I'm involved in. But they haven't set up a new production, a new update for the whole Atlas as far as, you know, yet.
Okay.
It's imminent, but it's not there yet. We've got a few things to work on. A lot of part of it is bringing in the results of the Basin Commission, you know, and some of the progress that's been made there, which is very helpful. And more of the inner workings of how the interplay between the aquifer and the Spokane River and the holding the lake back and, you know, where we might get into water quantity issues. One of the things I've suggested is that we have a member of the aquifer board that is actually, like Bob, involved in IDWR. Even though we're a quality board, the quantity is kind of an interplay that's sometimes hard to separate, even though we can't make decisions on quantity by itself. So I think that tables are going together.
Okay. Have you previously served on committees or boards, either professionally or personally? We know you've sat on this one, where you had to deal with varied personalities.
I was a flight service manager for Trans World Airlines for 32 years.
Oh, yeah.
I flew all over the world. I dealt with all kinds of people, all kinds of languages.
That was back when you served steak.
Yeah, well, we actually did that.
Not when you served pretzels.
Now we don't. Yeah, now it's in coach. We throw pretzels at you, but I retired before we started doing that. I can barely get in an airplane seat anymore because my knees hit the front of the seat in front of me unless I'm in first class or business class.
Yeah. We dealt with different types of people.
Yes, it was amazing education. It really was. Mm-hmm. And TWA was the only airline, that's who I flew with, but that was the only airline that was both domestic and international. Mm-hmm. And I was in Asia, I was in North Africa, I was in East Africa, I was all over Europe. I was in India, I was in the Orient, I was in Hong Kong before, you know, before it was retaken by China.
Sure.
It was amazing, the education. It really was.
Sure.
Fascinating.
It was. It was absolutely fascinating. And, you know, we had Howard Hughes started TWA. And so we were the airline that flew all the Hollywood people. And we had to be very careful to protect them and to keep them from being mobbed for, you know, autographs and things like that. So, and we had a way of doing that to keep their dignity and yet not treat the rest of the passengers like they were, you know,
cattle.
Something like that.
You're up, Mark.
How do you handle problem childs?
A problem child?
Yes.
Which problem child?
With the board members.
With board members?
Yes.
And the best way to deal with all of the personalities, especially on a board as diverse as the Aquifer Protection District, is to listen to everybody. Because they're bringing something to the board because of where they come from on that board. Because there's 9 positions, and they represent different parts and knowledge areas about our water supply. And to me, the best way to deal with that is to listen to what they have to bring to the table. And I think in all the years that I've been on the APD, I don't think we have ever had a board challenge or an inter-board challenge a personality challenge of any kind. I don't recall one. We're all human and we like people better than we like some other people. That's true. But I've never seen it interfere with our mission, which is protecting the water supply. And they bring such a volume of knowledge and background because of the 9 different requirements, you know, 9 different positions that are required by the board. Mm-hmm.
What do you think is the great challenge or issue this board may be involved with?
The challenging position that's always been there is about a kid sleeping in the background, and we have been able to conquer it better now than we were. It's the sharing of the water supply between Idaho and Washington, because we have two different sets of rules. And then with the failure of the Arroway Heights aquifer, and that water now is being, Arroway Heights is now getting their water from the Spokane portion of the same water supply that we have. So this could create some issues they had before. In history, we've been accused of Idaho mining the water, mining the aquifer, and not sharing it properly, blah, blah. We've had all kinds of those issues over the course of years. I see that they could come up again, and but we have so much more information. We have so much more data now than we had 10 years ago, that we can show them how the aquifer does, it does rise and fall, and it is based on snowpack. And if we wind up with a whole bunch of warm winters and then low water supplies in the summer, we are going to have some very serious discussions.
When you say water supply, the sharing of the water supply, can you define that? Is that
sure?
What does that mean exactly? Well, is that quality or quantity?
It's both. The quantity is because we're the headwaters state. We're the headwaters of this water supply that never stops moving. You know, it's not confined anywhere. So as it moves through Idaho into Spokane, and then, you know, even part of Lake Coeur d'Alene goes into the Spokane River. The Spokane River goes into the aquifer, continues through the aquifer, comes back out into the river at Sullivan Road, and then the river is refilled again. If you go down past the Post Falls Dam between there and Sullivan Road in June or July, you can wade in the river. It's like knee deep. Mm-hmm. So, but this whole thing is the people that have their drinking water supply depend on this. Mm-hmm. There's over 500,000 people that are dependent upon this water supply. If we damage it to the point where whatever that damage is flows downstream, we're going to have an economic crisis and a health crisis here like we've never seen before. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the reasons I'm so passionate about this. Because I've been for places where water's terrible, and I've been where they don't have enough fresh water that they have to use desalinated ocean water. Mm-hmm. If you've ever tasted that, is the nastiest stuff you've ever eaten in your life. It's horrible. We don't want to go there.
I trust your judgment.
You don't want to have that experience? Oh, okay.
Any other questions? Mm-hmm. Any other questions?
Just if you were to be reappointed to the board, would your intent be continuing the edible aquifer education program?
Oh, absolutely. I have all the tools and resources and stuff like that, and I do it for the chambers, and I do it for the schools, and when I was not reappointed, nobody that was left on the board wanted to take on that responsibility, bless their souls. But they're younger than I am. They all have, I still work, but my job is really easy. I'm a concierge at the Garden Plaza Senior Living Center in Post Falls, and I only work 4 days a week. So I can still do all the stuff that I need to do, you know. And I really enjoy teaching about the aquifer. I mean, I have all the equipment, I have the stuff. I can pass that on, you know. I mean, I have the discs, I have the PowerPoints, I have all the stuff that we've created over the years. And I really, really enjoy educating people about the value of this water supply. And we, you know, we kind of take it for granted because we live amongst all this water out here. And I don't want us to go to sleep and think that, oh, well, it's just always going to be here, and we don't have to be careful about it.
So just out of curiosity, with all this education and the fact that you've been on the board for a long time, what has actually been affected?
Oh, my gosh.
Where would you like me to start?
The place grows, has grown so much.
It has.
So are you suggesting that there is less growth today than there would be had this not been here, or explain that?
Well, I don't think the less growth would have occurred, mm-hmm. but I think the people that it, okay, let's go back to 2003, before the APD was even formed. This is when BNSF was putting in the application to build the refueling depot over our water supply.
Mm-hmm.
I almost fainted and fell over. So I went to Washington, and I was evaluating all the stuff from the environmental agency over there about the fuel in the Hilliard Chute, which was from the spills from the storage bin of BNSF storage thing in Hilliard.
Mm-hmm.
That's the last thing we went and needed over here.
Mm-hmm.
But the good part about it was that, okay, they got permission to put that in. It did leak within the first 6 months. It cost them millions of dollars to repair that.
Mm-hmm.
Then the APD was formed. This is when Frank Henderson and Bob Mooney took the articles to the state. Now, this is when the quantity could not be included in that, because as a state, as a state statute, they didn't want this to interrupt with the Snake River and all the issues they have there with surface water and groundwater and all that stuff. So they didn't want it to be a state statute that would have any impact on the Snake River. So we had to keep it confined to our water system.
Mm-hmm.
So this is why it was put as quantity or quality. So we wanted to protect the quality of it because of the porosity between what we walk on and where our water supply is.
Mm-hmm.
And as you leave Ponderay and go to Spokane, that gets shallower and shallower. There's a place in Spokane where you can actually go walk in the aquifer because it's right on the surface. Right here in Post Falls are about 160 feet, 155, 60 feet. And up to at Lake Ponderay, you're at 400 some feet between the surface and the water supply. The good thing that happened was that BNSF put in a double containment system. We put in monitoring wells. They paid for a full-time DEQ person to be at that facility on a daily basis. They have done such a good job that DEQ person, that position is no longer necessary. They went back to DEQ to do something that we needed them to do. But BNSF still contributes $100,000 a year to the county for the APD budget.
What else besides that?
That's the biggest thing that made people aware of what we need to do. The other part that I think is at this point critical is the nutrients and phosphates that could be coming into Coeur d'Alene Lake that could release the liquefy the lead in the bottom of the lake, which is the most of it sits right up here, right off our shore. That's where the big deposits are. They've made great progress in the Coeur d'Alene Basin about, getting the lead out of the groundworks and stuff there. But what we want to be careful of is, and to educate people, we don't want to go out and say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't build your house next to the water. But let's do some native plants or something between your grass that you want, going down there. Let's not over-fertilize it. Let's not, use too much weed killer. Let's do this intelligently so that we can keep the nitrates and phosphates out of the lake.
So we have golf courses around.
Yeah.
So what's been done to...
Well, that's the part of the education part is that, you don't want to over-fertilize it. And, depending on if it's not a runoff that's coming right into the river or the lake, then it's like anybody else's grass. If you over-fertilize it, and then water it, all that stuff goes through. But most of it, depending on the depth of where the grass is to the water supply, we've been fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of informing people, please don't overdo anything.
Mm-hmm.
And we've been okay. We had the bluegrass out on the prairie, and it had to be fertilized and all that stuff. But the reason that that pretty much died out, you know, is because people look to repollinate it. They needed to burn the fields, mm-hmm. and nobody liked that. That with the growth going out there, they didn't want to live in the smoke. Mm-hmm. So that pretty much killed the bluegrass on the prairie. So it's being replaced by lawn grass, but we're still, I mean, we're not overdoing the problem. We're not creating a problem with that. Mm-hmm. Where we would have more of a problem is, you know, we laughingly say pavement green, you know, where you have the runoff and you don't have the swales and, you know, then it dumps into wherever your road sewer disposal goes, which mostly is to the river.
Sure.
And so we want to try to watch that so that it's not overdone. And
so who created the board?
Well, actually, Mayor Larkin was very, very, Larkin. Larkin, he's the mayor of Coast Falls.
So the commissioners that appointed everyone?
Well, the commissioners, first they had to get the state statute. They had to get the statute passed. And that was Frank Peterson and Bob Romini that carried that to the state. Then the state said, okay, you can do this. They came back to the Board of County Commissioners. And
didn't you have to have a vote?
They did. And I'm trying, Jeanette Compton, it was Dick Compton. Jeanette is at Garden Plaza. She actually lives there now. So Dick's gone. But that Board of Commissioners put the thing together using the statutes and making sure that we didn't create something that Boise would have a duck fit over, so because they, like I said, they're still to this day having issues with the Snake River, mm-hmm. and their use of that.
So they set up the composition of the board, and
right?
No, the state statute.
That's correct. Right. The way it was written out, because they wanted to be sure there were people on the board that represented, you know, the water users and the people that had and education on the board. As we've expanded, and we've also, with the sharing of the with Washington, mm-hmm. we wanted to be sure that we were communicating with Washington so we didn't create some real issues over that would be quantity, but it still would be something that they would come to the board over, and we've been successful so far.
All right, well, thank you. Any other questions? Do you have any questions for us?
I'm not very good at tooting my own horn. But I just want to let you know that whatever your decision is, I am passionate about this water supply. I have always have been, and I would be glad to serve as long as you feel like I can be of value. And I would love to continue to do my public outreach and my public education and work with the chambers and the schools and mm-hmm. the stuff. And you're also welcome to use my garage. My garage, my hall for storage.
Well, I have a couple cars.
They won't fit because my boat's in one part and then my truck is in the other part and then the machine shop's upstairs. So I have room along the side for about 10 pallets.
Okay. And a machine shop to do.
My husband is an aeronautical engineer and a pilot, and he likes to play in his woodworking shop. So we're built into a hill. It's in River Run. It's right next door to Templin's in Coast Falls. Mm-hmm. So the whole thing is built into a hill. So the two lower levels are the boat garage and the truck garage, which is like this. And then you go up to the third level, which is above that, behind it. And that's where he's got his workshop, and then you go out that door into the house.
Now, you've been pretty active in the community. You've done a lot of different things.
Yeah.
Can you talk about some of those?
I've been a member of the Post Falls Chamber for 20 years, and I don't own a business. Mm-hmm. But I support the chamber and trying to, especially the small businesses in Post Falls. I really enjoy working with the people there and doing things like that. I work with CDAID, which is it's the service workers, and I'm part of that board, and I'm the basket lady. I do a lot of the, put all the auction baskets and stuff together, and that's, we do two fundraisers a year, and we try to help service workers that get get in a problem, but we want them to be able to continue to work. We don't want them to quit and give up. So anyway, I'm involved with CDAID. I run for office. I never get elected because I don't toot my horn very well. And I run as a Democrat. That's kind of like beating your head on a rock in Idaho.
Well, that worked at one point in time.
Well, yes, Frank Church was here and things like that. But yeah. Things have evolved. So.
Yeah. Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
When you look at the aquifer and the lake, what, how are we going to make that protected? And, you know, because the state of Idaho runs all that, and so we don't have any say, largely speaking.
As commissioners?
Yes.
Okay, this is where you rely on your APD board, and this lady has a lot of experience with that. Go to Leslie and have her contact the board, because there's people that serve on the board that have access to the agencies that can be brought together and the communication can be started. The way we protect it the best is to keep the citizenry informed of how vulnerable this water supply is. It is a beautiful water supply,
but recently
it's extremely vulnerable.
We've had several talks at different times. And it was all on the aquifer and the particularly the boating and all that kind of stuff.
Well, the boating is churning up, and that's the people that have the docks and the stuff like that, and the gravel and stuff along the edge of the river. Chameleon Park has been redone. There's really not much bad stuff left along the river edge. You know, most of that has been cleaned up or washed out. The boat motors and the churning of the stuff isn't going to harm the quality of the water as much as it's going to irritate the homeowners that live along the edge of it, because it's hard on their docks, it's hard on their boats, it's hard on, you know, anything along there, but it's not really damaging to the water supply itself. Now, if you get up into the Coeur d'Alene Basin, you know, going up the Coeur d'Alene River, where they haven't been able to get that all redone yet, there's still work to do, and then you start churning that stuff up, that can create a problem. But that's so minor in a way compared to where we have the biggest boat traffic and the great big boats. They try not, you know, you can't take a very big boat there, or you're going to be grounded. You might get the Coeur d'Alene Lake. And the tribe has been wonderful. Rebecca has been a real helpful communicator with the APD. Their interest is keeping the quality there also.
I think that's paramount.
And working with the tribe is great. I think this is, you know, how we, it's communication. It's how we all work together to do this and let our new people know and let everybody know just how valuable and vulnerable this water supply is. And we can't, it's not captured, you know, it's constantly moving. So we have to think about it in those terms too.
Okay. Any other questions?
Thank you for your time.
Well, thank you.
I appreciate you guys.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks again. It was a pleasure.
Pleasure meeting you.
Good. Thanks, Mark.
So we'll go to the next session.
Okay. You have a good afternoon.
Well, thank you. Are you guys ready to go into executive session?
Yep. Next up is item two, advisory board interview review. I'll take a motion to go into executive session.
I move that we enter into executive session pursuant to Idaho Code 742061A.
Second.
Commissioner Everline?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Chair Matari?
Aye.
There we go, it's live.
All right, 3:04, I'll take a motion to exit executive session.
I move that we exit executive session.
Second.
Commissioner Everline?
Aye.
Commissioner Duncan?
Aye.
Chair Matari?
Aye. Public comment?
Well, I'd like to bring Christie Reed Johnson's name forward for voting on next Tuesday at the business meeting.
That's probably a good idea.
Okay. So, I don't know.
You know, yes and no. Yes and no. I see the whole education thing, and that seems to be the top quality here. And I don't know why we can't figure out a way to keep her doing the education without her being a voting member on the board. And that's the part that I have a little bit of trouble with. And yet, no one else seems to want to pick it up. So it makes me wonder, you know, what's really going on. Now, I will say this, that during executive session, the last time we had a conversation, there were some things that were discussed that ended up coming out before the board when other members of the Aquifer Protection Board started saying that politics shouldn't get involved and all these other things shouldn't get involved. And I kind of wonder what makes them think like that and telling us who we should be voting for when we discuss things in executive session, and they should never be on the record.
It was actually the person, they listened to the audio, the person that we interviewed brought it in. Go back and listen to it.
During executive session?
No, this has not been an executive session, the interviews. Yeah. So members of the board had listened to the interviews.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you know, to me, it always concerns me when a board starts to try to wag the tail of the dog, in essence. It's the commissioner's prerogative to decide who sits on the board, not the board members. And that always gives me pause for concern.
I can see that. And you know what? So you and I, we know that this woman is really, really good and knows her stuff. And we don't want to lose that. It's like you're going to have we figured out how to go to the moon, and then it fell apart.
Well, it's going to be lost, and nothing has been done up to this point. And so that's
maybe that's what we do, is we concentrate on making everything, get all the ducks in a row, everything. So, okay.
Well, that's why I'm asking if there's not a way where she can continue to teach, but doesn't have to be a voting member on the board. You know, that's what I'm asking, because it comes across is education, education, education. Which it doesn't say Aquifer Protection Education Board, it's the Aquifer Protection District Board. So, you know.
Okay, so here's a question. What about this? We're the Board of County Commissioners, right? Mm-hmm. So the Board of County Commissioners can say, hey, we want to put together this package. And so we can keep on with our aquifer protection.
The education.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. And I think that, you know, she is interested in education.
Very much so. And so it was clear.
And so to me, I would say that you know, there's the bolts and nuts that go on the ground and all that kind of stuff. But she's at a higher level up here. Mm-hmm. And so if we can keep that high level up there, all of a sudden we have dynamite.
And again, that's why I said that I would like her to be appointed with the understanding that she's going to be transferring the knowledge piece to, even if it has to be parsed out, like somebody takes the chambers, somebody takes the different things.
Because there's another aspect from this. She knows everything, and she can put that forth or not.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds like she'd already started that process, but I want to make sure that it's usable to people coming forward. The other thing
it's
is
education.
Mm-hmm. Yes, the other thing is the state statute specifically says this board is to educate.
Yes, and so I think that can just fault, sorry, I didn't there. What do you think, Bruce?
Like I said, I don't understand how it's kind of ended up the way it has. I'm not convinced that, you know, again, the biggest issue for me is when the board starts trying to tell the commissioners what they want to say.
But that's what the Fair Board does, that's what each board does, and it's not that they're telling us what to do, they're giving us insight into the functionality and who is going to serve them well. We've done that with community development, we've done that with every board.
Well, like I said, that's part of the problem, is that these people, they get on these boards, they stay on so long that they get cozy, they get too comfortable, and then at some point, they become more, monthly meetings than they are actually getting things done a lot of times.
But that's not true in this case, because we see the actions that she does and that she continues to work.
Frankly,
but I have an idea, though. How about you go to an Aquifer Protection District meeting, meet with them, and then talk about in the future of having this a separate education piece that doesn't necessarily have to be a voting member. But right now, I still think
Why do I have to do that? I mean, I'm a commissioner just like the two of us are. We can make these decisions on our own, can't we?
Yes.
But would involve the people who are the subject matter experts.
But if we were to create like an alternate position where she could continue to teach and do exactly what she's always wanted to do and let the other people focus on, you know, the parts that, I mean, frankly, I'd like to find a way to change the charter so that it includes quantity, because we're at that point. And all these things we talk about, you know, look, the reason why we have a problem with fertilizers potentially going into the lake is not because people don't know. It's because people are moving here. That's what's causing this problem.
No,
you go back 50 years, you didn't have this problem.
The difference is the over-fertilizing versus the regular, because if you're doing the right amount, and this is why we have agri-med stations all throughout the prairie. Mm-hmm. Because when you have the right amount of fertilizer and the right amount of water, there isn't any seepage, leakage, anything like that.
Yeah.
And the plants are absorbing it and eating it. It's when you have the over.
But what I'm saying is that you didn't have this problem years ago when there weren't as many people.
I did a lot of studying on this stuff, and mm-hmm. I mean, it's down deep.
Yeah.
And if I can find my documents, I think you find it absolutely fascinating. It's not necessarily, you know, having to have plant problems.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more than that. There's a whole batch of this stuff, and it's actually very, very fascinating, at least to me.
Yeah. Are you talking about with respect to the fertilizer?
Well, or forget the fertilizer.
Yeah, because that's the issue with the lake
today.
But the fertilizer,
you know, so we had lead up there.
Yeah,
and there was problems, and people died.
Mm-hmm.
But there were ways that they figured out how to mitigate it to a certain standard, you know. And I'll try to track that down. Where the hell it's at, you know.
I'm just of the opinion that it would be, if we could find a way where she could continue to teach. I agree.
I think she would jump at the chance.
She is very knowledgeable. I get all that.
But until any of that's put in place, I think we should reappoint her.
I agree with that. But at the same time, let's look at it as moving forward and having more people,
mm-hmm.
and you know, she can be the mentor to everybody.
Yeah, I kind of feel like if that were the case, that would already have been the case, and then it's just a matter of the timing. But nobody stepped up to want to do the education after she did not get reappointed when we appointed the other guy just a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
No one even wanted to do it. And that's the part that has me a little concerned, is that it's all centered around her and her education. And I understand, you know, she
came across that. She knows what she's doing, and so
yeah.
I know everything that there is to know about this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so I just don't get that sense that anyone has ever even tried to do that. And again, it's if If that was really the case, then the entire board would be involved in it.
I disagree. Everybody, it's a big working board. I was on there for 5 years. It's everybody has their expertise and the projects that they work on.
Okay.
So it's not just that. And again, I would like her to work to the future and maybe have that education outreach be shared by more members and moving forward.
Look,
so
this isn't my cause celebre or anything. I'm just sharing my thoughts with it. And, you know, the way I kind of have seen how this board, you know, didn't step up to pick up the education part afterwards, the fact that the people have been on for very long periods of time, and most importantly to me was not only the letters that were sent to us, but also the fact that during public comment, they were quite vocal about it. And that to me says that, you know, there's something more going on that I don't know, which is, you know, why is it so important to keep this one person like that, knowing that boards typically should churn over a little bit over time. Doesn't have to be massive changes, but a little bit over time. And that hasn't been the case here. And that's one of the issues I have with all the boards, is that there's not enough churn.
I think there's been plenty of churn in the aquifer. It doesn't mean every single position has to be churned. And they work really well together.
I think when you're on the board for a long time, yes, people either will figure it out or not.
The difference is she's continuing to contribute at extraordinary levels.
I used to have one of these all the time.
All right, are we still discussing this or?
Oh, I don't know.
Forward. So
there's a whole gaggle of this kind of stuff.
Oh yeah.
And this is just a small part, because guess where the water ultimately goes to?
Well, obviously Washington.
Yes.
In the ocean.
That's right.
Yeah.
And there's I've got books and books and books of this stuff.
Yeah. Public comment. Hearing none. 3:16, being adjourned.